This is Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, sharing the stories, music, and culture of Indigenous Canada. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Indigenous elders often say that memory is in our blood and bone, that our people's stories are passed not just verbally, but through a kind of genetic memory. Well, it turns out that may not be far from the truth. Amy Bombay is Anishinaabe from Rainy River First Nation. She's an assistant professor of psychiatry at Dalhousie University in Halifax. She's been studying the impact of trauma and how it reverberates through generations. She joins me now from our studio in Halifax. Welcome, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get into the science of what you do, tell me what led you to study the long-term effects of trauma.
Well, basically, I decided to study the intergenerational effects of trauma and specifically of residential schools is because my family was affected by residential schools. Both my grandparents on my father's side attended and most of my aunts and uncles on that side as well.
What did you find out when you started looking at how trauma affects subsequent generations?
Well, we first started focusing on mental health outcomes as I was particularly interested in exploring the reasons why Aboriginal peoples and Indigenous peoples, not only in Canada but elsewhere, suffer from higher levels of psychological distress, which I think most people know are aware of the high rates of suicide. And so I really wanted to understand the root causes and the reasons behind these high levels. And what we found was that specifically looking at the long-term effects of residential schools, those who had a parent and or a grandparent who went to residential school seemed to be at increased risk for psychological distress and also for suicidal ideation, suicide attempts. And this is in both adults and youth.
So can you explain how our bodies respond to trauma?
Our bodies, they're designed to deal with stress and trauma. But it's when these experiences of stress and trauma become chronic that our bodies are no longer able to handle it. And that's when problems start to happen.
How is it that you're finding those things are lingering in our genetic makeup?
So that's something that's a lot more new. So in addition to the kind of psychological, social, and other pathways, there is evidence that epigenetic pathways are involved in the transmission of trauma. And this has not been shown yet in the transmission of trauma in relation to the context of residential schools. But we do have evidence that in children of Holocaust survivors, for example, that this epigenetic changes that are basically changes in the expression of our DNA, not changes in our underlying DNA, because that's not changeable, but we now know that experiences and the environment can basically turn on or off genes so that the function of those genes is changed. In terms of how that is transmitted generationally, we know that if those changes happen to be in the germline, so in the egg or the sperm, they have the potential to be transmitted across generations.
So you mentioned earlier that there's similar research about this kind of experience, this traumatic experience like the Holocaust. Is it reflective of our own?
Well, it definitely has some parallels. But of course, there are a lot of important contextual differences between those two, really terrible genocide experiences. But there are similarities. For example, research in the context of the Holocaust has shown that those who are descendants of survivors, they're impacted by communication about the Holocaust, which impacts their cultural identity. Right. And based on that research, we conducted our own research in relation to the residential school system and found a lot of the same issues, like this conspiracy of silence around talking about this issue. And this research is consistent with populations that have undergone collective and historical trauma around the world. So not only in relation to the Holocaust, but we know that these big historical and collective traumas are associated with a number of negative outcomes, right, which are expected.
So this is fairly recent and young research, but do you see this research playing into the reconciliation process at all?
Yes, I think for Aboriginal peoples, and we've been finding this as we've been going across the country presenting our research, is that it really helps Aboriginal peoples to understand some of their own experiences in their families and in their communities. And because of this silence that has had been created in communities around talking about this issue, a lot of people didn't know. And they didn't know why their parents maybe had so many problems, or they didn't know why their parents acted the way they do. And so learning about these intergenerational effects really helped a lot of people heal and elicited forgiveness, I think, within families and communities. And with regard to the non-Indigenous population, there's a common response that we get from people who are uneducated about the history of Aboriginal peoples in Canada, which is, you know, just get over it. Why isn't it that easy? And the answer is because, you know, we know now that these intergenerational effects are real and they aren't easily solved overnight.
I love it when science is fascinating. Don't you?
Absolutely. I like it when people find my science, my geeky science fascinating.
I hear you. I'm pushing my glasses up right now. Thank you so much, Amy, for sharing that research with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Amy Bombay is an assistant professor of psychiatry at Dalhousie University.